Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to View from the Top Rope. I'm Chad here in Zeus's lair. I'm here by myself right now because, as promised, I am doing the review of the Destruction Tour of New Japan. And I'm going to start off right away by telling everyone there's a reason I haven't been talking about this tour that much, because this is by far the worst thing that New Japan has put out all year, bar none. It just really wasn't exciting. It seemed like the competitors were burned out. I don't know if it was from the G1 and how long that lasts and everything, but the matches were kind of subpar. I mean, there's some good matches in here, and the pay-per-view coming up that I'll talk about at the end should be a good one. It's got a really stacked card, so maybe that'll redeem everything, even though it's not a destruction event, actually. But so I'm going to breeze through this because, as I said, I didn't enjoy a lot of it. So I'm going to hit some high points and talk about the good stuff, bring up the important stuff from each of the events, all right? So the first event was Destruction in Fukushima. And I'm going to skip right through the first few matches. None of them. The first couple matches were against Young Boys. If you don't know how New Japan works, the Young Boys always, or the Young Lions, I'm sorry, they're not the Young Boys. Young Boys are around the ring. The Young Lions get matches against veterans, and they always lose, but it's always fun to see how well they do in the match. And they've got some good Young Lions coming up. I will be eventually talking about these guys, but we're going to go right to the third match. The only reason I'm really going to talk about this match is because Trent Barretta is moving up to the heavyweight division, and he teamed with Jado to face Bullet Club's Chase Owens and Yujihiro Takahashi, a.k.a. the Tokyo Pimp. And this Tokyo Pimp versus Barretta feud is going to be a reoccurring theme through this entire Destruction Tour. So I just bring that up. They had a solid match. Wasn't that great. Yujihiro Takahashi won. He got the pin over Jado, though. The next match on the card, the only really important thing about this is Kenny Omega hurt his knee and had to have surgery. So he was supposed to be in this match, but had to pull out because of the knee injury. So we did get the introduction, though, of the youngest Gorilla of Destiny's brother. And his name is Leo Tonga. And him and Bad Luck Fale teamed against David Finlay and Juice Robinson, who in the final event of the Destruction Tour does get to challenge Kenny Omega for the U.S. Championship, which is why this tag match was supposed to happen on this show. But as I said, Kenny Omega had to pull out. Juice Robinson did get the win over Leo Tonga with Pulp Friction. If you haven't seen Juice Robinson in New Japan Pro Wrestling and all you have is a remembrance of him in NXT as CJ Parker, I want to say, you have to check him out in New Japan. He is so much better. He is over with the crowd. His moves are crisp. He looks great in the ring. And he does probably a better and prettier than Christian ever did, as he leaps into the air and then drives him down. So it's a really great finisher. So Juice Robinson got the win, as I said. Next match was a 5-on-5 match. Not even going to talk about it. Seriously, I'm just going to skip right by it. The next match was for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. And it's a 3-way match. And this match took place on all three of the Destruction like pay-per-views. It was weird. It was literally just every single one, they had this same match. And the rules didn't really change until the third match. We'll get to that. But the three teams, clearly the champions, are Hanson and Rowe, the War Machine. They faced Tongaloa and Tama Tonga, a.k.a. the Gorillas of Destiny, Bullet Club. And finally, they faced the returning Killer Elite Squad, which is Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer. And I'm going to be flat out with all of you guys. I don't know if I really enjoy the Killer Elite Squad anymore. They were really awesome when they first were around, but now, I don't know, they don't feel like they fit in New Japan. And it might be because he wrestles in jeans for his father and everything, and I don't really like Lance Archer. But the match was fine. This first one was definitely the weakest of the three. War Machine got the victory after hitting Fallout on Tongaloa. All there is to be said, so they retained in this first match. The next match was a tag team match. I'll bring it up real quick just because I like all the competitors. It was Will Ospreay and Tomohiro Ishii versus Hiromu Takahashi and Tetsuya Naito. aka Los Ignorables de Japón versus Chaos. The real important thing about this match is Tomohiro Ishii will be facing Tetsuya Naito for the G1 contract, aka the right to face the champion at Wrestle Kingdom at the next pay-per-view. As I said, I'll be bringing that up at the end of the podcast today. Tetsuya Naito did get the win, and he got it over Will Ospreay. Solid little match. I mean, with all four of these guys, you're not going to get a bad match out of any of them. So I enjoyed it. I don't know. They're not a big highlights to it or anything, but Tetsuya Naito got the win with Destino. The next match was for the six-man never open weight tag championships. And this was the champion team of Los Ignorables de Japón, of Bushi, Sanada, and King of Darkness Evil versus Rocky Romero, Toriano, and Kazuchika Okada. And that's Chaos. So the Los Ignorables de Japón did retain. Bushi got the win over Rocky Romero. Main thing about this is Evil is getting a heavyweight championship shot against Okada at this upcoming pay-per-view. So this is all just kind of build for it. As I said, though, the Los Ignorables de Japón did retain the titles with an MX to Rocky Romero from Bushi. The final match on the card, which was the worst New Japan main event I've seen in a fortnight. It was awful. It was all Suzuki Gun shenanigans, and it really bothered me. So the match was for the Never Openweight title, and it was a Lumberjack death match, which was then Minoru Suzuki, aka the champion, leader of Suzuki Gun, versus Michael Elgin, Big Mike, as Kevin Kelly would say, and I really do love when he does that. As I said, did not enjoy this match in the slightest. If you even go on Dave Meltzer's Twitter and his website, everything, he didn't like it either. This was too much Suzuki Gun shenanigans. Just really wasn't fun for 19 minutes. Minoru Suzuki did get the win, retained his title with a Gotch-style pile driver. So that was the first night of, or the not the first night, but the first big pay-per-view of the Destruction Tour. And as I said, really did not enjoy this one. Couple things in there that were important to talk about. But in general, just not a good showing from New Japan. Hopefully in the next night, we get a little better showing. So there are shows in between these pay-per-views. They're the Road to Destruction shows. But they're kind of like house shows, to be honest. They don't have commentary on them in general. And, I mean, they do progress the storylines, but I'm not going to review those for you guys. I'm just going to, as I said, hit the high points on a not-so-great run for New Japan here. But, you know, after the great year they've had, we knew they had to have at least, you know, one dud throughout the year. So this next event was Destruction in Hiroshima. I'm going to talk about actually all of these matches, basically. I'm going to breeze through them, but the first match was actually a pretty solid six-man tag. The first team was Tiger Mask number 4 versus Jushin Thunder Liger with Hiroshi Tenzin versus Jado, Yoshihashi, and Hiroki Goto. It wasn't the best match. It was short. It was 7 minutes, but Yoshihashi did get the win with his butterfly lock that he's been using a lot lately. So solid little way to open up the show. The next match was, once again, a tag match, and it was David Finlay and Juice Robinson versus Leo Tonga and Bad Luck Fale again. As I said, this was supposed to be Kenny Omega, so this would have been a lot more interesting had Kenny Omega been around. This match was super short. Like, it was over as soon as it started, and Juice Robinson once again got the win with Pulp Friction over Leo Tonga. Nothing much to say about that. Third match was Roppongi Vice's final match ever. As I told you guys in the last show, Trent Beretta is moving up to the heavyweight division. They've been a tag team for 5 years. They said they had a 5-year plan. After those 5 years, they were going to break up unless they were the champions at the time. They're not the champions at the time. So Trent Beretta is officially moving up to the heavyweight division. And thus, this was Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta's last match. And they faced Chase Owens and the Tokyo Pimp, Yujiro Takahashi. And this was a good match. It was a short one. It was only 6 minutes. But I enjoyed everything about it. Lots of fun little spots, and Beretta and Romero got the win with Strong Zero for the final time. And they did, if you don't know, Rocky Romero is clearly way shorter than Trent Beretta. And so they always did this high five spot where Trent Beretta holds his hand up as high as he can, and Rocky jumps up to high five him. And they did it for one final time. And it was pretty awesome. I'm not the biggest fan of Roppongi Vice, but I don't have any problems with them. And they're solid wrestlers, so it was good to see that New Japan actually give them a win on their final night of being a tag team. And Rocky Romero is already, what's the word I'm looking for? Teasing another pairing. He's been tag partners with pretty much everyone, and he always wins the titles with them. So I'm pretty excited to see it. He's calling it Rapugni MK3. I kind of got a feeling that it might be Kota Ibushi. I don't know why, just a feeling in my bones that I could see them tagging together, and that'd actually be a pretty fun tag team. So the next match on the card, this match, it's another six-man tag. This was Kota Ibushi, as I was just talking about, Michael Elgin, and Togi Makabe versus Suzuki Guns, Taka Michinoku, Takahashi Izuka, and Minoru Suzuki. And Kota Ibushi got the win. He pinned Izuka with the Kamigoya, which is just a vicious knee strike to the face, basically. It's awesome. Kota Ibushi's a lot of fun to watch. Nothing really to say about this match. It was a little six-man tag that just to fill the time. The next match was for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. And this was Ricochet and Taguchi, a.k.a. Taguchi Japan. I don't like Taguchi, so I love Ricochet, though. They faced Suzuki Gun. This is another. Suzuki Gun got all these title opportunities during this Destruction Tour, which maybe is why it's so bad, because I don't really enjoy Suzuki Gun. I just don't like their shenanigans as much as nobody does, actually. The crowds hate it as well. But they get great heat. They're probably the only real heels in New Japan because they actually get heat. And Tai Chi and Kanemaru were the ones in this match. And Tai Chi has go-home heat. The crowd absolutely hates him. And they chant, "Go home, Tai Chi," pretty much constantly during the whole thing. And he is obnoxious. And, I mean, he plays the character well. He's really the truest heel in New Japan. Taguchi got the win over Kanemaru with the Oh My Gar ankle. It's an ankle lock. He wins with that. I don't know. I don't really have a lot to say. Ricochet is cool as always. Does a lot of cool flippy stuff. Next match on the card, we have the second of the three matches, as I told you, for the IWGP Heavyweight titles. And this one was still Hanson and Rowe War Machine versus the Guerrillas of Destiny versus the Killer Elite Squad. And this one was a little more interesting. They did have the fact that the Guerrillas of Destiny did hit the Guerrilla Warfare and went for the pin. Unfortunately, they weren't the legal team at the time, which actually got them. They would have won the match had they been the legal team. But this allowed Hanson and Rowe to recover. Then they ended up hitting Davey Boy Smith with Fallout for the win. Once again, these guys have solid chemistry in the ring. They're not great, though. The Guerrillas of Destiny are just phenomenal. I love Tama Tonga. He is one of the most fun guys to watch in the ring. And I absolutely love War Machine as well. They might be having the greatest year in tag team history of all professional wrestling. And I love everything about their gimmick. So I just really don't like the Killer Elite Squad. I think that's the problem here. I think they're still a little rusty, to be honest. Lance Archer was hurt for a while. So the next match on the card was another 10-man tag. So it was Chaos versus Los Ignorables de Japón. Really not going to talk about it. We're just going to move right along. The next match on the card was a good one, actually. This was for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. And this was Kushida versus El Desperado, once again of Suzuki Gun. As I said, they got title opportunities at every title during this paper or during this little tour, besides the heavyweight, which they're not getting one of those right now. So this match was good. Kushida and Desperado have a long-standing rivalry. This was only Desperado's second chance at the junior heavyweight title ever. So it's a little weird because he's been around for a long time. But Kushida ended up getting the win with the Back of the Future. Big thing was they kept Kushida was working over, clearly, Desperado's arm for the hoverboard lock. And Desperado was working over Kushida's leg, looking for his stretch muffler. He got it on him multiple times. My biggest problem with this match is there was one point in the match where Desperado literally had Kushida locked completely in the stretch muffler lock, as in he had both of his hands as well. And honestly, there is no human way that Kushida could have gotten out of it without Desperado letting go, which I guess hurt my suspension of disbelief for a second. And I don't know. So I got a little sour taste. That was about halfway through the match. And I really thought Desperado was about to win. It, as I said, it looked unescapable. And he had to just let go of one of his hands to let Kushida get out. Lots of cool counters for Kushida going into the hoverboard lock. He did the top rope hoverboard lock, and Rocky Romero said it was the first time he'd ever seen it. If you don't know, he always does that. He holds him on the top rope, and then he walks up, and he'll flip him off. It's happened a bunch of times in so many promotions. And for Rocky Romero to say he's never seen that, it was a lot of bull. It was straight up bull. So the final match on this card was the main event. And this was for the IWGP Intercontinental title. And this was the champion, Hiroshi Tanahashi, the ace, aka the old ace. He's still kind of the ace. Versus Zack Sabre Jr. of Suzuki Gun. And this match was, it was up and down. I don't really know what to say about it. There was some clearly missed spots in it. There was one really scary moment where Tanahashi went to put Zack Sabre Jr.'s feet on the ropes to then do a neck screw. And he completely missed and ended up just dropping Zack Sabre Jr. kind of awkwardly on his neck. And I don't know if it was planned. It didn't look like it was planned. It was kind of gross, and I was worried about Zack Sabre for a second there. But the overall match was solid. Zack Sabre Jr. is just one of the most fun wrestlers to watch if you like submission wrestling. He always has at least two or three body parts involved in every submission hold he puts on. If he puts you in an armbar, somehow he's going to catch your leg as well, and you're going to have an ankle hook on as well. He is so much fun to watch with all of his just technical prowess, and he is probably the truest form of just old school British style wrestling where he's just trying to mangle your body, and he's such a stiff striker as well. Tanahashi did end up retaining. There was more Suzuki Gun shenanigans in this match. Minoru Suzuki himself actually came out, beat up Tanahashi for a while, put him in the sleeper hold, and Zack Sabre Jr. almost got the pin. Then Minoru Suzuki was beating up the Young Boys with a chair and was about to climb in the ring with a chair, and Michael Elgin came out and battled him back to the backstage area. And eventually, Tanahashi actually did have to hit three high fly flows in this match to win it. So they really did put Zack Sabre Jr. over as well. I could have done without the Minoru Suzuki interference. The match was going great at that point. I really didn't think we needed it. But it is Suzuki Gun's MO, and they've been doing this constantly. But once again, Suzuki Gun, another title opportunity, another lost shot. So this night was better than the first. Definitely think the main event was 100 times better. And the actual undercard there was more interesting stuff. The matches might have been a little shorter, but it was an actual solid, you know, pay-per-view. But I expect better out of New Japan, which is why, once again, I just didn't exactly love the entire Destruction Tour. So we got the final night coming up, though. And this is when Kenny Omega does make his triumphant return. So as stated before, there are shows in between these. They're kind of like house shows once again, so I'm not going to talk about them. So the final night of the actual Destruction Tour was Destruction in Kobe. And we finally had Kevin Kelly and Cyrus, Don Callis, back on commentary. And Don Callis, as I've said before, if you don't listen to the rest of the podcast, check that one out where we do our lists. And he's my favorite announcer of all time. I love everything about him on commentary. He's hilarious. They were up in the rafter areas so that he could stay away from Naito. Just great stuff. Great stuff from both of them. And I also love Kevin Kelly. As I said, when he says, Big Mike, one of my favorite things every time. I have a massive mark attack. So, Destruction and Kobe. I'm going to breeze through these first, like, probably 3 to 4 matches because they were all just filler, as far as I'm concerned. First match was a Young Lions match. It was Kitamaro and Oka versus Kawato and actually Tenzin. Clearly, he's not a Young Lion. Tenzin clearly got the win. Great, we move on. Next match was a 5-on-5, a 10-man tag between a whole slew of people. We had Ricochet, Taguchi, Tiger Mask, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Makabe versus Suzuki Gun, which was Michinoku, El Desperado, Taichi, Kanemaru, and Iizuka. And Makabe got the one with the King Kong knee drop. Great. We're going to move right along. Third match was Yoshihashi and Hiroko Goti. Wow, that was some really bad pronunciation. I apologize. Hiroko, just, it's Goto. Wow, I don't know what's happening. But they faced Chase Owens and Bad Luck Fale. It was another match, just filler. Yoshihashi got the win over Chase Owens. Chase Owens is really good at taking pinfalls. The next match on the card was Trent Beretta versus the Tokyo Pimp, Yujiro Takahashi. And this was a solid match. This was Beretta's first official heavyweight match on a big show. It's the only big problem I had with it is the Tokyo Pimp was honestly on offense a little too long. They overplayed the under, you know, trying to have Beretta rise up because he's a big guy. Like, he was a big junior heavyweight to begin with. So I just had a lot of problems with that. He was just fighting from below too much in this match, in my opinion. Still a solid match, though. Beretta did eventually get the win with the Dude Buster. Yujiro hit a whole bunch of moves. He hasn't hit in a whole long time. But solid little match. It was a good match to have Beretta for his first heavyweight match. But as I said, I wish he would have looked a little better in the match because he was just fighting from below too long. He did win with the Dude Buster, though, which is his finisher. It's a cool move. Look it up on YouTube if you haven't seen it. The next match was the final of this three-part series for the IWGP Heavyweight Champion Tag Team Championships between War Machine, Guerrillas of Destiny, and the Killer Elite Squad. And this match, it was probably the best one of the three, but I had some problems with it. So Killer Elite Squad got taken out about halfway through the match. They got hit with Guerrilla Warfare. One, I do believe it was Davey Boy Smith got hit with Guerrilla Warfare on the apron. Not on the apron. On the ramp. And then Lance Archer got put through a table by War Machine. And then War Machine and Guerrillas of Destiny battled out for a while, which was the best part of the entire match. Bunch of close pinfalls in that part. And I really enjoyed that whole thing. But then Killer Elite Squad suddenly rose from the dead, cleaned house, and ended up getting their win with the Killer Bomb, which is a pretty sick power bomb, double power bomb they do. Do enjoy that. But besides that, I don't know. So Killer Elite Squad is your new tag team champions, the heavyweight for the IWGP. So that's interesting. It's the first time they've been champs for, I don't know. It's not the first time I know, but it's the first time they've been champs in a long while. So Suzuki Gun, if you didn't know, they are part of Suzuki Gun. They do take away the heavyweight championships now. So now they have the Tag Team Heavyweight Championship and the Never Openweight Tag Team, or the Never Openweight Heavyweight Championship. The next match on the card was Michael Elgin and Tanahashi versus David Finlay and Kota Ibushi. This was really a throwaway match, and with all these great people, I thought it'd be way better than it was. As I said, just kind of a throwaway match. Michael Elgin did get the win with the Elgin Bomb over David Finlay. David Finlay's still pretty young, just graduated from Young Lions to program. So not surprising he's still taking the pinfalls. Next match on the card was a six-man tag between Rocky Romero, Toriano, Tomohiro Ishii versus Los Ignorables de Japan with Bushi, Sanada, and Tetsuya Naito. And Ishii got the win over Bushi in this match. Solid little six-man tag. Not a lot to talk about in it, but as I said, solid little match. Zeus clearly making his presence known in his own lair right there with those barks in the background. But we'll move right along to the second Dairy main event, which was Will Ospreay and Kazuchika Okada, Chaos, versus Hiromu Takahashi and Evil. And this match was good. I mean, with these four guys, it was great. Kazuchika Okada, just that rainmaker is sick nasty. But Will Ospreay actually got the win with the Oz Cutter, which you don't see him do as much in New Japan for some reason. He does a lot of his other crazy moves. But he did a full-on Oz Cutter, and he pinned Takahashi in a solid little match. Will Ospreay is actually going to be challenging for the light heavyweight championship at this upcoming pay-per-view, which I'll give you the whole card after we finish this up. Because we're going into the main event, which was the best match completely, without question, not just because I'm a Kenny Omega mark or anything like that. But this was honestly the best match on the entire Destruction Tour, which was Kenny Omega versus Juice Robinson for the IWGP United States title. And it was great. It was back and forth. The match started where Juice was like, I'm not going to go for Kenny's knee. As I said, Kenny has a knee injury. He had surgery like 3 weeks ago, and he's back wrestling already in this great match. But so he wasn't going to go for the knee at first, but then eventually it just, he was like, I need to win. He started going after the knee, trying to work it over. It was really great psychology through the whole thing. Kenny Omega, of course, is just amazing. He's hitting V triggers left and right through insane angles of so much coolness. That's who I modeled Jester after completely. Kenny Omega is probably my spirit wrestler for Jester. It's Kenny Omega plus Minoru Suzuki plus Kevin Owens is my combination of who Jester is for my eFed. But this match was great. Juice Robinson countered the one-winged angel at least four different times. And then for the win, Kenny Omega hit, for the first time ever in New Japan, a super one-winged angel from the top rope. Juice Robinson was going for a super Pulp Friction because Kenny Omega did kick out of a Pulp Friction, like a full-on awesome one. And it was like literally 2 9/10. It was a great kick out. Crowd really thought Juice was about to win. So we took him to the top rope and he was going for the super Pulp Friction. And Kenny Omega countered into a super one-winged angel and got the win in a phenomenal, phenomenal match. Clearly the best part of what this Destruction Tour was. And I, you know, can't say enough about Kenny Omega's will to just come back and wrestle. I also can't say enough about Don Callis and Kevin Kelly on commentary for this match, because Don Callis is a huge Kenny Omega guy, and it was just great. I love every time Don Callis is on commentary for a Kenny Omega match. So that was the Destruction Tour, and as I said, we do have an upcoming big New Japan event. It is King of Pro Wrestling. It's a great event, always in October, so hopefully this makes up for this subpar Destruction Tour. Lots of great matches on this card. First match is a six-man tag. We have Bullet Club, Leo Tonga, the Tokyo Pimp, and Bad Luck Fale versus Los Ignorables de Japón, which is Takahashi, Bushi, and Sonata. The second match is Chaos, Toriano, and Hiroko Goto versus Zack Sabre Jr. and Minoru Suzuki. Should be a great one. We have a match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles. It is Ricochet and Taguchi versus Challenger Team. This hasn't been announced, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Rocky Romero and whoever his tag team partner is going to be. We have, for the fourth time in the past month, for the heavyweight titles, the tag heavyweight IWGP titles, we have War Machine versus the Champions Killer Elite Squad versus the Guerrillas of Destiny. Woo! Hopefully, since it's a bigger show, they'll actually pull out all the stops in this one. The fifth match is one I'm actually super excited for. It is Jado, Beretta, and Yoshihashi versus Bullet Club, which is Marty Scurll, Cody Rhodes, and Kenny Omega, which is pretty much the dream team of Bullet Club right there. So I'm super excited for that match. The sixth match is Toga Makabe and Tanahashi versus Juice Robinson and Kota Ibushi. I feel like either Juice or Kota is going to be the next challenger for the Intercontinental title. So we'll probably get our answer from that in that match. Next match I already talked about before is the junior heavyweight title match between Kushida and Will Ospreay. Should be phenomenal. Every time these two guys step in the ring together, they make magic together. They're both their World Cup final in WCPW and their final of the Best of the Super Juniors matches are both off the chain. If you haven't seen them, check both of those out immediately. And then the next match is then Tomohiro Ishii versus Tetsuya Naito. I talked about this as well already. This is for the right to challenge at the Wrestle Kingdom, aka for the G1 contract. And then finally, in the main event, we have Kazuchika Okada, the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, putting his title on the line against Evil due to his G1 win. And this should be a phenomenal match because Evil has come along faster than anyone else. But I thank you today for joining me by myself in Zeus's lair. And I thank you for climbing up high with me. And remember to always enjoy your view from the top rope.